Hi, it's Mackenzie, and this is the Mill Spouse Brief. I hope you guys have had a wonderful week. I was out of town all week in Utah working, so I had a couple of installs that I had to do. So that was really fun to be back on the road and get to experience kind of traveling again. And Kate is in the field all week, so that was not exciting for him. But it was nice that we're both apart. So sometimes I like hate when he's in the field and I'm at work. Or no, sorry, when he's in the field and I'm home, or like vice versa. So sometimes it's better when we're both gone, just because then it's like, okay, then we're both gone and then we get to come back and be together and enjoy that. So it was fun. I love going and visiting Utah. I have so many friends and family there, and so it was really fun to see everybody. And a thing that's really like popular in Utah is they have a bunch of different cool restaurants that I don't feel like are other places, or at least not where I live. And so I really enjoy getting to try a bunch of the food that I love there that aren't anywhere else. Today on the podcast is Katie. And Katie is a fitness trainer. And she is currently helping me train for all of the Navy fitness quals. And when we recorded this episode, I had just started going to her classes. And I help her with her content and do some PR for her. And now we're like over a month after kind of like me going to classes, and you guys, when I tell you it's amazing, they are amazing. I have seen so much change in my performance and how strong I'm getting and my running, like everything. Just last week I was able to hold a plank for 3 minutes and 35 seconds, which is the max for the Navy, which was what I was aiming for. And so I'm able to like truly see results. Katie was on vacation, and so she wrote us out workouts to do at home, and I made Kate do a couple of them with me. And then this week, while I was when I was on a work trip, she wrote out workouts for me to do at the hotel. Like, you guys, I cannot begin to tell you how amazing she is and how she truly wants me to succeed, and the way that she keeps me accountable, and she communicates so well, and I'm just so excited. And I really am able to see like the changes in my body and like my endurance and just everything like that. And it's really changed my perspective on working out and my health and fitness and just everything. And this episode is so good. Literally, I'm so excited for you guys to take a listen. And without further ado, here is Katie. All right, so I'm here with Katie. So Katie, do you want to introduce yourself?
Yeah, my name is Katie Skipper, and I am a military spouse. I live here on Camp Pendleton, and I currently run a business called Holy You Fitness.
Guys, it's amazing. I did a workout today with them, and it was awesome.
I'm so glad you got to join us. It was a good one.
It was so fun, and it's just so easy pace and relaxed, but it's like within an hour, we still did so much. And it's that like non-judgmental environment. And I think the fact that you run it out of like your garage just brings a different, like it's not intimidating like if you're like going to a gym type thing.
Yeah, it's just a home. It's a home environment. Everybody is really laid back and very cool. And
yeah,
it's been a really neat experience. I've got to meet some really awesome ladies, and I'm really loving the community that has been built up around that.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. Okay, so let's talk about your whole career as a military wife. How did you meet your husband?
Okay, so my husband and I actually knew each other as kids.
Oh, cute!
Yeah, we played baseball together. And oddly enough, I did not like playing with him. He was on my team, but he was a very laid-back, sweet kid.
Uh-huh.
And I was super competitive.
Oh, that's so funny. Yes.
And I actually remember loathing the moment that he would come up to bat, because it'd be like, oh, he's not even holding the bat right, he's not going to run fast, he's probably going to get out.
Yeah.
So that's kind of how it was, but he definitely...
That's so funny.
Yeah. He grew up into a very strong, strapping, competitive man.
Oh, good.
So yeah, we knew each other as kids. I'm a little older than he is. I'm 2 years older than him, and we really didn't grow up together like through high school, so we never maintained contact.
Yeah.
But we reconnected over Facebook.
Really?
Of all things. Yeah, he was in Lejeune. He was just a we Lance Corporal.
Okay, so he had already gone through the process of becoming a Marine.
Yeah, he was already a Marine, and I actually found one of our old baseball pictures.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's so cute.
I just had this, like, strange urge to send it to him, and I did, and then we started talking, and then...
And where were you at the time when
Mississippi.
He was in
Legion? Okay,
so that's where you were born and raised?
Yeah, we're both from, Carrier, Mississippi.
Oh, that's so cool!
Yeah.
Okay, so he was in Lejeune, and then that's when you guys started talking.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, so we talked, we probably talked for about a year, and then we would fall off. He actually, we were talking, and he had actually already planned to take another girl to the ball. Yes. Scandalous. When he took her to the ball, like, they had been friends for a while, too, and like I said, it was a long-standing plan, but it broke my heart, and I just kind of, like, I was like, I don't want anything to do with him anymore.
Yeah.
And we stopped talking for a couple of months.
Okay.
And I'm not sure if you knew this, but I was a single mom at the time. Like, Carmen was like 7 when we started talking.
Okay.
Yeah. So I was a single mom. I didn't do any dating.
Yeah.
Really, my whole time as a single mom. So talking to him was kind of a big deal, but also, like, I don't really want to entertain this if it's has no future. So,
well, and I think it's hard because you had a whole kid to think about, and it wasn't just like, oh, if I go on a couple dates, this doesn't really affect anything. Like, your life is different.
Yes.
And it affects Carmen just as much as it affects you and him.
Exactly. Exactly. And even talking to him, I would always be like, I really like this guy, but it can't go anywhere.
Mm.
You know, I had a whole life in Mississippi and a whole kid, and also the thought of blending a family is just, it's huge. It's huge, and it's very scary. So, actually, one day, I think it was about January of the following year after the scandalous ball date, I finally was just like, I'm really ready to, like, have a partner. I'm ready to have a whole family.
Yeah.
I'm ready for Carmen to have a dad figure in her life. And I prayed. And not a day, not 24 hours went by, and he called me. And
oh, my gosh.
Yeah. And when he called me, he had a totally different...
reason to call you?
Yeah. I mean, he was just, like, he was fully committed to being, like, he was just, it was, like, this was it.
Oh.
Yeah, and then we saw each other in March, and once we saw each other, that was it.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, and we were married in December.
So that is awesome.
Yeah, very quick. We've been married almost 6 years now.
That is wonderful. Okay,
yes.
So then you guys met and, well, like, reconnected, basically.
Yeah.
And then was he still at Lejeune?
He was.
Okay.
So we moved to Lejeune. We moved to Richlands, actually, right there by the airport.
Yeah.
And it was January 1st, 2016.
Okay.
Yeah, New Year's Day.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah.
Okay, and then what's his MOS? What's his job?
So at the time, he was enlisted. Fast forward, he did a little bit of recruiting, so we lived in Illinois, and then he put in an ECP package and got accepted and went to OCS in June, 2 years ago?
It
was 2 years ago. Yeah, so he switched sides. He went to the officer
side.
Nice,
so he's a Mustang,
yes.
Which is super cool.
Yep, he's a Mustang, and he is now a supply officer.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
What does that kind of, like, entail?
It's basically, so many things, so many words and acronyms that I do not know what they mean. I try my hardest, but it's basically supply chain management. And they work with major, a lot of money, big accounts.
Just like buying all the stuff for the Marine Corps.
Pretty much.
Okay.
Pretty much.
That's
so
cool.
Yeah.
Okay, so what were your thoughts about recruiting? Because I've heard so many things.
Yeah, and probably everything that you've heard is true. It really is. It's one of those things that I hate to talk to people about recruiting because it's almost like whenever someone tells you that they're pregnant or someone says that they're pregnant and then everybody tells them the horror stories and it sets you up for fear.
Yeah.
Well, recruiting, it's the same way. I feel like it's just like that, but also it's everything's true.
Yeah.
You know, it really is rough. It's very taxing on them. It was very taxing on us and as our marriage and as our family because he was stressed all the time.
Yeah.
I feel like recruiting is best summed up by working yourself to death trying to meet unrealistic expectations.
And unrealistic expectations, is that like about how many people they have to get?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, for sure. Like it was... I forget. I think it was like two people a month, and he was working in a rural area. And then even the people who were interested, a lot of them didn't qualify.
Yeah.
You know, they're looking for people to meet physical standards. They need to meet academic standards. they need to be ready to go. They have to make it through MEPS. Yeah. It was a lot. He did very well, surprisingly. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, not surprisingly, but
no, yeah. As given the circumstances and where you guys lived and things like that.
Yeah, and being a new recruiter, you know, he was able to met his quota every time. But
that's awesome. But he did obviously had to work really hard to meet that quota. He did. People were just signing up in the office.
No, it was not like that. He had to hustle, and we rarely saw him. And when he did, he was just taxed. Yeah. He had nothing left to give.
Wow, that's so. Do you guys want Illinois, or was Illinois given to you guys?
No, we did not. We did not.
What part of Illinois were you guys in?
Effingham.
Okay.
Which is 3 hours south of Chicago.
Yes.
Yeah, we wanted Tennessee and got Effingham. So, yeah, no, we did not want Illinois. But it ended up being a great experience.
Yeah.
So.
Did you guys get to, go experience Chicago?
We did. We went to Chicago one day, and that was plenty. I ate pizza. We got to see the Bean. And it was
good. That's so cool. I really like Chicago. I think it's fun to be. Okay. So, do you feel like, and I wonder if, do you feel like the Marine Corps, when you say, the what did you say? The expectations. Yeah, unrealistic expectations. Do you feel like other branches are like that?
I really don't know. I do feel like, based on, my husband's, the conversations that I've had with my husband, I feel like the Marine Corps does have higher standards for Marines, and I do think that they have higher expectations for what they... I think they're going to get more work, and they're going to get more...
Yeah.
They're going to pull more out of them. But, you know, that's kind of hard to say, because I don't really have a ton of experience with people in other branches.
Yeah. Well, when this episode airs, my news will already be dropped, because I will have already... taken the test, so they'll already know what I'm talking about. But I had really bad experiences with other branches recruiters. So, not really bad, but just very different than the Marine Corps.
Yeah.
So, one, I reached out to 4 different Air Force recruiters, and I literally did not hear back from them for over a week. And then three I've never heard back from. One called me back after a week and a half and was like, sorry, I'm not an officer recruiter. And I was like... okay, thanks. And he's like, just reach out to people in Long Beach. And in my head, I'm like, yeah, I've already done that. And it was literally yesterday. He called me back yesterday. And I was like, okay. And he's like, well, make sure that you send them an email and make sure that you text them and leave them a call and a voicemail. And I was like, very interesting. The Navy one was fine. I definitely was shocked. And I guess in my mind, I'm like, don't you want someone to join? Shouldn't you be
hustling for my...
Yeah!
My signature.
And for me, it was just really interesting. The one I have right now, I do like her. I haven't met her yet. Well, I will meet her by the time that this airs, but I haven't met her yet, just through on the phone calls. And she's really nice. But it's very interesting to me, because all I know is the Marine Corps.
Yeah.
And, how Cade's recruiter, literally a godsend. I've never... Yeah. I mean, he would reach out to me while Cade was in boot camp.
Oh, yeah.
And asked how I'm doing.
Oh, yeah. My husband wrote letters to guys in boot camp. Yeah. He was, if somebody called him, he was all over that.
Yeah. And so it just really shocked me. And I think it's just because of how the Marine Corps is.
Yeah.
That I'm because Cade was and I was like, Cade, they won't call me back. Do I call again? And he's like, yeah, you call them again. And I was like, what are we doing? He's like, annoying? Well, they annoy the heck out of me, so we're going to annoy the heck out of them. They still have, I think a month ago, a Marine recruiter came to Cade's parents' house and was like, hey, we're looking for Cade. And his stepdad was like, he's been in for 3 years. And they're like, okay. And Cade's like, tell them that they already snatched my soul.
That is hilarious.
But literally, Marine Corps recruiters are still showing up. Mm-hmm. Calling Cade. He still gets calls, and it's like, I'm literally in. You have me. And so it really just shocks me that, the Air Force recruiters wouldn't even call me back.
Yeah, I know. That blew my mind when you said that. I was thinking that you were brave for contacting a recruiter, because I just thought that would mean an influx.
That's what I thought. And then they wouldn't even call me back. I sent emails. I've sent text messages. I was shocked.
Yeah, that is very shocking.
Because all I hear about is Marine recruiting, and don't do recruiting because of how hard it is.
Yeah, it was a lot of work. And even I will say that he had to be in the office a lot more. I want to say that I never even saw the Navy or Army people in their office.
The Air Force one in Oceanside, you have to email them an appointment. Their office is closed. It's shut. You lit on the sign, it just says, please email us for an appointment to come in. Cade's like, are you kidding me? They don't work.
Wow. Yeah, maybe that is the branch to go with.
But, like, it was just shocking me. And I think it's just because we're so used to marine life that I'm like, y'all don't work. You're getting off this early? Like, Kate's like, I can't believe this. This is amazing. I'm like... So, my one question is, Cade said that recruiting duty gives you a lot of opportunities for advancement. Is that true?
It's hard to speak on that because we were only in that for, I think he recruited for 5 months. He put in the package and he got...
You guys weren't there long, so it was like, hey, I'm doing recruiting, but I actually want to do this package, and then the package got accepted, so you guys left.
Yeah. So, okay. He had to make it through OCS. So, every single letter that I wrote him... when he was in OCS was said, get us out of here. Do not quit.
Oh, because you guys were still in.
Yeah, we were.
Oh, and if he didn't get, he got sent back to.
Then he would get back. Yeah. Oh, my God. I was like, I know that this is hard, but recruiting, think about recruiting for 3 years and let that be what propels you forward because this is what you have to come back to.
Yeah.
And it's cold and it's muggy and it's very Midwest-y in Illinois. So, which we did meet some really great people. There was definitely purpose to our time there.
But I feel like there's good places in Midwest area and there's bad places. And I don't know if rural Illinois is the place to go.
It was a very small town and it's not very scenic.
Yeah.
But like I said, it was very cozy. It was very convenient where we lived. We lived in the middle of town, 5 minutes from everything. That was nice.
That is nice.
I was pregnant too. Yeah. So it was a good place to be. I did not feel like I missed out on anything as I stayed home and grew a baby.
Oh, that's awesome. Okay, so tell us about OCS. What was that like? Because you didn't get to experience boot camp. So, like, what was it like experiencing that?
It was tough. It was tough, especially for him. You know, he had a hard time. He's older, you know, than anyone else. But he did great. We didn't talk for, I think you don't get to talk for the first 3 weeks, like no letters, no contact. That was hard and, you know, just not knowing and waiting, no news being good news. Yeah. And like, if you get that phone call, that means that he's dropped.
Yeah.
But
or something happened.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And every week I would just be waiting like crazy for that opportunity when he would go. When he would get liberty and I would wait for that phone call.
So did they get liberty for the first 3 weeks or wasn't it till the...
No, they don't get liberty until I don't remember exactly when it was, but it was something like maybe it was the fourth week that they got liberty. Mm-hmm. And then it would always be so sad because he would have to go do all of his errands.
Yeah.
Sometimes he would have fire watch.
Yeah. Sometimes fire watch.
Yes.
Anybody listening, fire watch is basically where like in the middle of the night they're walking around checking and making sure that a fire does not occur.
Yep.
It's literally what it sounds like. But, I mean, Cade had it. And they have it at the weirdest hours. Like, when he was at MOS school in Oklahoma, he'd have fire watch for 4 hours in the middle of the night. And he'd literally walk in circles. I remember, I don't know if your kids ever watched Sweet Life of Zach and Cody.
No.
But there's, like, the guy that owns the hotel, and his name is Mr. Mosby. And he's always like, no running in my lobby. And so every time Cade had fire watch, he would send me, like, a Snapchat. I was like, no one running in my lobby. But no, fire watch is, it's rough.
Yeah.
It's rough.
And they had such little time
to get everything done.
Yes.
And it's hard because they obviously want to talk to you, but then you're like, Cade always said that when he had stuff to do, and so like what he would try to do was if he talked first and then had to do the stuff later, the whole phone call, all he would be thinking about and stressing about was, am I going to have enough time to do everything?
Yeah.
Versus, sorry, I just didn't have enough time to call.
Yes.
And it's like, it's that hard thing. It's like, you want to, but it's like, if I don't get these things done, I'm going to be reaping the consequences for the next week.
I'm going to be scrambling and maybe not get everything done. So sometimes we would only get to talk for 15 to 30 minutes.
Yeah.
And that, you know, the whole week. Yeah. For 10 weeks, it was tough. And then being pregnant and emotional, and Illinois was, not somewhere that anyone really wanted to come visit, so I don't think we had any visitors until we moved.
Yeah,
you know, cause my dad came to help us move. So
that's hard.
Yeah,
to
it
do.
Was. It was just a, but it went by quick and it went by relatively quick.
Yeah. Did he like? I mean, I don't know if you can like OCS, but like, because since he did boot camp in both, like he has that perspective. Do you know kind of from his sharing his thoughts, like what? Not what's better, but the differences are harder. Yeah.
Yeah. I think OCS, I'm pretty sure he has said that OCS was harder. I think it's more running.
Mm-hmm.
And I also think it was hard for him to go from being a sergeant to being stripped down to everything. Yeah.
I feel like that would be hard too because the guys running OCS.
Sometimes you
are lower, you know, or younger and you're like, are you kidding me?
Yeah, so that was hard because they tell you, you're nothing. You're not a sergeant here. You're stripped of everything. You are a candidate. So, yeah, I think he did say that.
And for a boy, I feel like that, not a boy, but like a man, that's hard. You know, like Cade would talk about that all the time. He's like, I that's hard.
Yeah, you feel like you've already done it. You've already paid your dues, but you have to repay them.
And isn't OCS a little bit more like schooling as well?
Yeah.
Like papers and class. Tests and class and things like that.
Yeah, because they were very tired, and I do remember him saying that, like, that it was a struggle to stay awake, that they would just, everybody would be falling asleep in class, like, nodding off. Yeah, so he did say, he was like, he didn't know if he would go back if he failed it. If he really fell out, yeah, he didn't know if he would do it again.
Did he say kind of what the fail-out rate was?
I forget. I knew what it was at one point, and I'm not sure, but yeah, they did drop. They dropped a significant amount of people. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
It was an accomplishment.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. So did you guys get to go to the graduation?
Yeah,
we did. What was that like?
It was awesome. It was on my birthday.
That's so cute.
Yeah, so he'll actually get promoted this year on my birthday.
I love that.
I know. Isn't that awesome? So yeah, it was wonderful. It was very emotional. Of course, I was pregnant, so it was even more so. But just to see him and to see, and that, you know, they do the... I think it was artillery. They fired the artillery, and then they, of course, do the super motivating speech. And it was great. I bawled my eyes out. It was so hot.
Because OCS is in Virginia, right? Or Maryland?
Yeah, Virginia. Okay. Yeah, it's at Quantico.
Yes, that's right.
Yep. Wait, yeah.
Yeah, Quantico.
Yeah, it is. I think about it. I'm like, wait, we've been all over, I feel like. So.
Wow, so that's so awesome you guys got to go. And then is that when he got orders to come here?
No, so when he graduated, we went back to Illinois for a little bit, and then he had to go to TBS. So we moved from Illinois, TBS? The basic school. So
he had to do both.
Yeah, you have to go to OCS first, which is like the boot camp, and then you go to TBS, which is basic. It's like basic training, I guess. Mm. Yeah, so that's 6 months long, and that's really where they teach them to be officers. I hope I'm not butchering that, but yeah. So six months
kind
of that.
So it's kind of like... So, after boot camp, you go to MCT or SOI, and it's like that version. So, instead of combat, you're learning how to be an officer.
Yeah, but it is combat, too. They do a lot of combat training there,
Where
too.
Is TBS?
Also, it's at Camp Barrett, which is in Quantico.
Okay, yep. So he was able. So you guys saw him. Mm-hmm. How many days did he have off?
So,
oh, no, you said he went back, right?
Well, yeah, we lived there. We moved with him. Oh, yeah, so we got to go. Nice. They are very busy, but they do get to come home. So yeah. I see a lot of wives asking that. That's a big question when their husbands are about to, or I guess really spouses. It could be either. But I would definitely say it was a benefit to us to move with him.
Well, 6 months is a long time, especially knowing that you will have that opportunity for them to come home. You know, even if it's just for a little bit, it's not like your normal work schedule. Knowing that they'll be able to come home is nice.
Yeah, he was home most nights he came home. And they did do some field stuff where he would be gone for maybe 3 to 5 days. But that was just a handful. They are very busy, but it was nice to be able to feed him.
And just see him.
Yeah.
Just have your family back together.
Absolutely. We brought dinner and lunches up to Camp Barrett and saw him. So yeah, it was great to be there.
Oh, that's so cool. So you guys left Illinois, moved to Virginia.
Yeah.
And then he finishes TBS, and is that when then he gets new orders?
Yes. They give you, at the end of TBS, you get your, he got his MOS and then got orders. And
did he get to choose his MOS or was it given to him?
No. See, they do it on a tier. I forget how he just explained this, but I don't even know how to explain it. You'll probably have to edit that part out.
That's okay.
But yeah, they assign it basically. Okay. But you do get you get to say, I think you do a list of like what you want, but it depends on your grades and it depends on what is available, like what jobs are available. So, and then also I think it factors in like whether or not you're a prior. Which I don't understand all of that.
Yeah, it's a total mess. I feel like their idea of it is all like, okay. Because my thing is, and I get like the Marine Corps' needs, you need to be met. But in my mind, like when you give someone a job they don't want, you just spent all this time and money training them, and then they'll probably get out once they're first. Like that's why my thing is when you have all these guys and it's so hard to lat move, it's so hard to change your job. And I get you did train them, but it's like, you are then having to retrain all these new guys and lose all this money versus just giving a guy a job that he likes, that he wants to go to work every day.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So this, it wasn't my husband's first choice, but it has ended up being a good job for him. Mm-hmm. And also it will translate well. The experience that he is gaining here will translate well on the civilian side.
That's so important. Yeah. I think that's one of Cade's biggest regrets is he's like, I mean, there's not many things that people, like, I'm not going to be shooting rockets in most, like, civilian jobs, yeah. You know, like, because he's artillery. And I think that's hard, and it's, like, one of my things, and I'm like, oh, definitely. Like, I think that's, like, if I had any advice for anybody that wanted to join the military, if you can do something that can translate mm-hmm. out of, you're so much better off, because those skills that you're learning actually can transfer onto a resume and, like, oh, you have this many years of experience. That's wonderful. Because yeah. I feel like nowadays that's the biggest thing is, yeah. like, do you have experience? Yeah. Like, education's important, but I feel like experience is 10 times more important now.
Yeah, oh, for sure. 100%. I agree with that.
So he's now a supply officer.
Yeah.
Do you feel like the enlisted versus officer life, like, is there one he prefers? What are the big differences that you notice? Mm-hmm.
That's a tough one. Well, he has a lot more responsibility, and he's spread a lot more thin these days. I think that he is being challenged. Some days he would say he hates it, I'm mm-hmm. sure, and then other days he feels very fulfilled, I would have to say. Overall, We don't really compare what our lives are like now to then as far as like, oh, I just wish we could go back to that. I do think that he misses there's a different kind of camaraderie that comes with the enlisted side, I would say, because there's more rules and structure around how he is supposed to interact as an officer.
True.
Yeah. And then their peer group is a lot smaller too.
That makes
so
sense.
There's a lot less officers than there are enlisted. So that has been one thing that I think has been an adjustment for him.
That was something that Kate had mentioned to me when he was like, if you take this route, which we don't know if I'm going to, but you know, the package is being submitted. And so that was the thing is he was like, because we don't know like if I do go into it and pass and all kind of stuff, what if I have to go on deployments? And he was like, a deployment as an officer, it's different. You mm-hmm. don't have as many officers with you, and you will be a girl. Like, you think about those things. And he was like, I mean, the officers probably on our deployments, like in Oki, were probably a lot more miserable compared to our enlisted guys. Yeah, the enlisted guys are younger, and you get paid less, and you have different things. But at the same time, like, we have all each other because there's so many of us.
Yes.
And I feel like that could probably be hard because he's like, and I don't know, probably not with his friends outside of, like, work, but at work, if you had a friend that you used to, like, be, and he's still enlisted, and you're an officer, like, that could be tough.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you're like, I like, might have to, like, discipline you, or I might have to, like, give you an assignment, and you're like, this is awkward, because, like, you mean you have beers, like, on the weekend together.
Right.
You know, like,
yeah.
I feel like that could be hard.
Yeah, which I think that, technically, they're not supposed to.
Yeah.
You know, officers enlisted aren't supposed to cross, and that's why. Because you may have to tell them, or you may have to, you know, you're going to have to act in disciplinary ways, and you want them to be respectful of you and your authority. So, which right now, I mean, we've been here a year.
Okay.
He hasn't had many issues with that because he hasn't faced that.
Yeah.
We haven't really faced that so far.
That's nice. Yeah. I mean, I feel like that's good.
Yeah.
And I feel like it's also, like, I think it's harder when you have, and like Kate always says that, it's just different as long as we're not in the same command. And he says, as long as, like, because, like, I'll be like, well, I have people come over to the podcast. And he's like, yeah, it doesn't really matter if, like, it's because of you or if I meet them, like, outside of work. It's more like if I'm at work and then I'm like, oh, come over to my house after work. He's like, that's more of where it's, like, the issue of, like, that where it's, like, if you met someone or we met someone and I just happen to know that they're, like, a higher rank than me or they're an officer, like, that's not going to stop them from coming over for dinner.
Right.
It's more like, do I have to see you Monday through Friday at work and, like, report to you?
Is
like,
it going to cause issues on the work side of life? And that's how I've never approached anything. Like, I don't even think about that. Like,
yeah.
I don't, we just kind of live our lives. And
so you're telling me that when I come to your classes, I don't have to write my husband's rank down on the sign-in sheet?
I would never.
Can you imagine if you're like, please put this sticker on? Please separate them. You can't go across this line because you are an enlisted one.
You cannot talk to her.
But that's, I mean, and I don't know if you've experienced that because you've been able to be both.
Yeah.
But I feel like it's a very, like, I feel like I've experienced it. Like,
really?
So did you, I don't know if you heard about it. I talked about it on an episode.
But I was at the dollar store, and sorry for the people that heard this episode and had to listen to this again, but it's wild. Not the Dollar Tree, getting a notebook, and this lady was in line grabbing all these balloons and talking, and like she'd been there because like the workers had already known her, and they're like, oh, you're back to buy more. And she's like, yeah, I just didn't want people to like buy the balloons. And some lady's like, oh, what do you need balloons for? She's like, oh, my son's coming home from his deployment today. I'm so excited. And so, like, obviously, I knew that she was just a happy mom, you know? Right. But the whole store is hearing this, okay? And so she's like, they're like, oh, that's Corey. Oh, he was all over the Middle East. He was in Afghanistan. And he was, and I was like, oh, no, oh, no, oh, no, oh, no. And so I was like, she probably just has no idea what OFSEC is.
Yeah.
And, like, she... One, she was talking very loudly. Two, she was telling, like, he's coming home today. He was in Afghanistan, like, all this kind of stuff. So I was like, I feel like I should say something because, like, my thing is, do you know how awful it would be if someone was in that Dollar Tree and then something happened and they were like, hey, Lance Corporal Schmuckatelli, your mom was in Dollar Tree today and was telling everybody. Like, you never know who's going to be where. Yeah. What if some freaking extremist is in Dollar Tree? Like, you know? So I leave, and I was like, I feel like I just have to say something. Because do you know how awful it'd be for her son to get home from deployment and then get in trouble with his command? Like,
right.
I didn't want that. So I get in my car, and I drive away, and I like I just felt like I had to go back. So I, like, do a U-ey in the parking lot, and I pull up next to her car, and she's, like, blowing the balloons. And I was like, hi, I hope you're doing well. I was like, I don't want this to come across mean. I was like, I just don't want you to get in trouble. I was like, I heard you talking in the store, and I was like, I'm so happy that your son's coming home from his deployment. I was like, but there's a thing called OPSEC, and I really just don't want you to get in trouble or your son to get in trouble with his command. She looks at me, and she goes,
oh, no.
It's fine. My husband's the CO. I can do what I want.
Whoa.
And I was like, okay, well, no, she goes, it's fine. My husband's a CO, so it's fine. Or something like that. He won't get in trouble. Because I was like, I don't want to get in trouble with his command. And she's like, it's fine. My husband's a CO. And I was like, okay, well, I just didn't want anything to happen. And like, and then she goes, and they're already home. And I was like, well, you told the whole story that they come home tomorrow. Well, we told everybody that, but they're already home.
Oh, no.
Okay. And so I like call Kate, and he's like, first of all, there's no way that a son and a father are under the same command.
Right.
Okay? Second of all, the CO is the one, the commanding officer is the one making sure OPSEC is followed.
Right.
There's no way that the CO is like, yeah, my wife doesn't follow OPSEC, but I'm making all of you guys follow OPSEC. Do you know how embarrassed a CO would be if he found out his wife was the one that broke OPSEC when he's the one making sure everybody else follows it?
Yes.
And he's like, there's so many holes in her story, I can't. But I was shocked when she was like, my husband's CO, I can do that. And I was like,
I'm surprised she knew to say those, you know, to say CO. I just learned that, like, yeah. 2 years ago.
And I was like, okay, well, I'm glad that that's your husband and you can do that. But I was like, okay, well, you have a great day. And she literally just, like, shut the door. And I was like, well, okay.
You did your duty.
But I was like, I was literally shocked. And I was like, I wasn't trying to be mean. I was just so afraid that something would happen.
Yeah.
Because I, like, when Kate first learned, I learned all about OPSEC. You know, and, like, some days I'm still like, oh, I don't think I should have said that. Or, like,
right.
You know, like, there's so many rules, and I would have never wanted someone to be like, man, I wish I would have just known. Because as a parent, you don't know as many things as a wife would know, you right. know? And so she said, my son. So for her to be like, well, my husband, why wouldn't you say, like, my son and husband are coming home? And Kate has a friend whose dad is a colonel in the Marine Corps in Pendleton.
Yeah.
They are nowhere near the same commands.
Right.
He's, like, on one side of Pendleton, and his son is on the other. And still... His dad has been able to do things for the command.
Yeah.
And he's not even over it. So can you imagine if he was over it? Kate was like, there's no way. That does not happen.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's just crazy to me. But no, I sing as well. And I'm like, no one cares, like, what rank you are. Like, I can't imagine that.
Yeah, I would never bring that up. Because I just think that that's probably one of the dumbest.
Well, it doesn't affect us.
It's so shallow. It's so, so shallow. Yeah. Yeah, it doesn't translate into our lives.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. And, like, Kate always jokes that, like, his friends that, like, have people that care about the rank, he'll be like, bro, if you care about rank, you get on the duty roster. How about you do some duty? Because I don't want to do duty. You do duty. And it's, like, seriously, like, I understand that affects our lives.
Yeah.
You know? But it's, like, that part should not affect our lives.
Right. As far as, like, who you interact with and how you interact with them, it should not translate.
That's what I'm saying. It has no bearing on us. It's mind-boggling to me.
Yeah. Luckily, I haven't encountered that. I haven't really encountered any officers' wives that were haughty in that direction. So I've been thankful for that.
And I feel like that, and I think that's the cool thing about the podcast as well, is it isn't everybody. You know, like, there is, like, everybody is not like that. You have your typical enlisted wives, you have your typical officer wives, and you will encounter them, possibly. But at the same time, that isn't the majority, and I do like that we can kind of show that that's not, and that you're not going to experience that. The joke, we do not have to share our rank at the workout classes. Like, no one cares, you know what I mean? Like, even if you think about today, I don't know everybody, but, like, your husband's an officer, mine's enlisted, Bianca's is the same, he's a Mustang as well, he was enlisted, now he's an officer, and we all hang out.
I don't even think to ask anyone.
Well, yeah,
I don't
and ask, that's, like, and I that's can't my even... thing, it doesn't matter, and so it's so weird when people are like, what? And I'm like, why would it matter? Like, we talk about it on the podcast just because, obviously, like, you have to explain your story and like, what their job is. But I'm not like, oh, sorry. Yeah. You know, you're not like, oh, sorry, can't go to enlisted housing and record this.
Can't talk to you.
Like, and so sometimes it kind of shocks me when people are so weird about rank. And I'm like,
why?
Really? Are you okay? Like, my thing is, in the real world, no one would be like, oh, my husband's a CEO and your husband's just a regional manager. Mm-hmm. Don't talk to me.
Yeah.
You don't ask people what their rank is in the civilian world.
True. That is very true.
No one asks, like, I mean, like, you could say, like, oh, yeah, like, I'm the CEO. But no one's, like, that doesn't stop, like, divides.
Yeah. I think that my theory is that women get, like, military spouses, I try to have compassion in those situations now. You know, at first, when we first got married, I was very much like, I will never be one of those women that, you know, claims your rank. Yeah. And I was very judgmental about that. But the more years that we've vlogged together, the more I realized that as a spouse, you sacrifice so much of your own identity and your own life to follow your man around that I see what would lead other women to do that.
No,
you know, I just trying to view it as like, how does this happen? And like, why? And I think they just kind of absorb that identity because it's so hard. You're uprooting, you know, you start to build a life and you start to put down roots and then you're ripped up and you're moved into this new place. And it's hard to rebuild yourself and it's hard to refine your own purpose and your own thing.
I think that's a really good viewpoint, and I think I probably should apply that more often. And I think a big thing, and I don't know if you relate to this as well, but like, can you imagine if you didn't have Holy You Fitness and you didn't have something that you were to put your time and energy into? Like, it makes total sense. Like, if you don't have anything that you're able to claim or enjoy or focus on, you could really get wrapped up in the fact that, like, my life is military because of my husband.
Very easily. Very, very easily. And that's exactly why I started doing what I was doing, is because I needed something of my own. Yeah. I needed to be able to create something and invest in something that belonged to me.
Exactly.
And that was of me. And, you know, while I do want to be I've always been very supportive to him, and I will do whatever it takes, and I have done so much to help him achieve his goals.
Yeah.
So, and now it's really neat too, because now he's able to reciprocate and he's doing the same thing for me.
That's awesome.
Oh, he's incredible.
That's
he's
wonderful. Okay, so tell everybody about Holy You Fitness. What made you want to like start it?
So I started because when we first got married, I had gone, you know, I mentioned I was a single mom and I was working insane hours, you know, just to make ends meet. I was working at a church full time as a children's and youth director, and then I had every kind of side job that I could imaginable. So when we got married, everything just stopped.
Yeah.
I was doing nothing. And at first it was good. I did need that breather, and I needed to just be able to relax and be supported and spend time with Carmen, because I had been, you know, she had been tagging along everywhere that I went. So we kind of had that breather. And then I started babysitting because I missed my kids that I worked with. And then that only took about maybe less than a year. And then I was over kids. and I'm still over kids. I love my own kids and I love kids in general. But as far as like babysitting and childcare, that chapter is over. It is closed and done. So MYCAA, M-Y-C-A-A.
Yes.
I went through them and I forget how it even came about. I think someone posted it in a spouse's page. And I looked into the grant. And then I saw that personal training was
part of the grant.
Part of it, yeah.
Which is awesome, which I hope a lot of people realize that, as a military spouse, you do have these grants that you can apply for.
Oh, yeah. And I think you can even do it as an officer's wife, too.
Oh, that's good
to know. So, either side can do it. But So yeah, I had one of my side jobs back in Mississippi was a spin instructor.
Oh, that's so cool. That was become like really popular.
Yeah, yeah, I know. I was even thinking that, like, Peloton. So I love fitness, and it was something that I was very passionate about when I was doing group exercise and teaching that spin class.
Mm-hmm.
So I went for it and I got my certification, and then I worked in a gym. We could do a whole other podcast on my experience working in a gym in North Carolina, because basically I was working for a con artist. Oh yeah.
What?
Oh yeah. Like, it's a very exciting story. I would have to like write all of it out, but basically she ended up skipping town, and the clients that I was working with, you know, I was able to foresee it coming and was able to stop them from paying her before she skipped town. Oh yeah. It was,
wow,
full of twists and turns, and
that's crazy.
Yeah, it was absolutely insane. And then also I was able to work with the people who own that gym currently.
Okay.
Yeah, and they still own it and run it today.
That's awesome.
Yeah, wild times. So I worked in a gym in North Carolina, and then when we moved to Illinois, I got pregnant and then really just took off. I didn't know if I wanted to keep personal training. I just took that time to be coached myself. We started going to CrossFit Effingham. If anybody ever randomly lands in Effingham, Illinois, highly recommend going to CrossFit Effingham. They have exceptional coaches there. And I worked out there the whole time we lived there throughout my whole pregnancy. And was
CrossFit's intense.
Oh yeah. I love it.
You love it?
I love it. I deal in extremes for myself.
Yeah.
So
guys, she's going to skydive.
Oh my gosh. Hopefully.
So she's going to do it.
Yeah,
this is her accountability.
Yeah.
But, so yeah, she's definitely what we were talking about today. Extremes.
Yeah, I deal in extremes.
That's what CrossFit is. It's extreme.
It is. It is very extreme. And I did it for my, like I said, I did it for my whole pregnancy. And that was, you know,
not saying that you can't work out when you're pregnant, but like, how do you just do like modifications or?
Modified a lot. Like I didn't really focus on adding a ton of weight. I didn't really focus on strength. I just really focused on moving well.
Yeah.
And
it's really good for the baby.
Oh, it was great. We had a very healthy baby, and she's still just, we joke all the time that she's extreme too, because we did, womb, she was doing CrossFit as well. So, so I took that year to just be coached, and I learned so much, so much from them at that gym. And then I really had, after Lizzie was born, Skylar was in TBS, and I had to like make a decision because my certification was coming up, due.
To like renew it.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I had to
decide. So do you have to renew it every year?
Three.
Okay.
Every 3 years. So I had to make a decision if I wanted to do the continuing education and renew it, or just, you know, let it go and move on with life. And I decided to like dig in and do it. And then I started running running workouts out of our house in Virginia.
Okay.
And, yeah, with some of the TBS wives, because this was right in the middle of COVID.
Yeah.
Everything was shut down. Actually, I ended up putting together like a course, and we did like this online course together.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah,
and that was probably cool to like meet wives as well.
It was because we did get a few small events before COVID and everything shut down.
Yeah.
So we did kind of meet, but we didn't really know each other that well. There were a few group chats that kind of spawned off of those events. So luckily we had that resource.
That's awesome.
And I just felt like one day this idea was dropped into my head. And I even remember grabbing a notebook and just writing everything that it was being downloaded to me.
Yeah.
And I was like writing this course out, and I put it together. And then I reached out to these TBS wives and was like, does anybody want to do this with me?
That's so cool.
And it ended up being the neatest thing.
Yeah.
And part of the course had workouts, so I was just doing videos, like making videos and writing them workouts. And then when we finished, I was kind of like, I didn't want this to be over.
Yeah.
So I invited them over, even though I was like, oh, I don't know how they feel about COVID. I don't know if they're going to, but then I decided to just do it.
Yeah.
And
which I feel like was kind of like a cool thing about COVID was, and I think some people went one way and some people went another.
Right.
But, like, for me, like, COVID was this experience to, like, start working out a ton. Because the only reason I got into running is, I don't know if you heard me tell Bianca this today when we were done running. But Cade had a PFT, which for everyone's a personal fitness test. And he had, like, a goal that he wanted to run it in, like, 24 or something like that. And I think he either got it or... So, like, 24 is way than passing. But I think 24 was, like, his personal goal that he wanted or something like that. And I think he got it to 24, but he was upset that he didn't get it lower or something like that. And I was like, 24 is not that hard. To run 3 miles in 24 minutes, I was like, you need to do better. And, like, I was a super mean wife. And I was like, you need to do better. That's not that hard. And he was like, oh, yeah?
Yeah.
And I was like, it's really not. Like, I'm not impressed. Like, you need to push yourself some more. And he was like, you go ahead and do it. And I was like, oh, I will, buddy. Just you wait. And so my family's like, Kenzie, when's the last time you run? And I was like, my senior year of high school. And yeah. They're like, okay. And so my dad comes on. Like, I'm running Monday morning. You better watch me. My dad shows up at my apartment at 7 a.m. And is like, I'm going to follow you and record this. And I'm like, dude, so I told him, I was like, well, to practice last night, I ran around my apartment for 24 minutes. So, like, I know what 24 minutes of running looks like. Probably, like, a 15-mile-per-hour pace. But I'm like, I can do this. I make a playlist, 24 minutes. Only going to listen to the songs once because I'm only running 3 miles, 24. I thought it was possible.
Yeah.
I start running. Literally get to, like, the next street, and I'm like, oh, no, I got to vomit. So my dad's, like, watching me, like, bleh. And I'm like, I can keep going. And I'm like, I'm not stopping. I can do this. And I'm like, oh, this is a lot harder than I thought it was.
Yeah.
And then I'm like stopping to walk, and he's like driving. I'm like, how you doing? And I'm like, this is not good, not good. And so I like keep going, and I'm like, I gotta do this. And I'm like way past 24 minutes. And I get back to my apartment. I finally make it. And I do it like 40 minutes, 42 minutes.
Whoa.
Yeah, it was not good at all. And I vomit again. And poor Cade, I'm like, I texted him and I was like, 24 minutes is amazing. You are amazing. You are literally a freaking Olympian. I was like, kudos to you. Amazing. You are amazing. And he was like, I can't. And my family's just dying. I think it's the funniest thing. And I'm like, okay, foot and mouth. Like, I got it.
Yeah.
I got it. But honestly, that is really what, like, even though I hated it, I was like, I really like this at the mm-hmm. same time. And I think for me, in my mind, and I don't know if you have people like this, for me, because I have a lot of people that hate running. And I used to hate running, too. I used to be like, I hate running. For me, I'm like, I can burn this many calories, get in shape in this quick of time.
Yeah.
Like, it's just quick. Like, yeah. And so I'm like, I can literally just go run and be done.
Yeah.
Like.
Yeah, running is a very, it's a great divide. Some people love it, and some people absolutely loathe it. Some of my clients will not do it.
Yeah.
They will not, and they're very clear about it. They're not going to run. And then others have come around to it more. Like, I am so shocked that so many of our girls are going to run a 5K in
Which
October.
Is awesome.
Yeah, that is so cool to me. So, yeah, it's, I try to wear them down.
Yeah.
I'm like, chipping away at them.
What are your thoughts about running?
It's not my favorite. It's not easy to me. It doesn't mm-hmm. come easy to me, but it is very challenging. I love how I feel after I run.
Yeah.
I love it. There's nothing like it. I love how I feel after I lift weights, but there's something about, I mean, the runner's high is a thing. And I think that...
Or just, like, it's almost like the runner's high after I'm done.
Yeah.
Like, there's runner's high when you're running.
When you're running,
but, like,
yeah,
the runner's high, like, after you're done, you feel so accomplished.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but you're like... Yes.
Yeah, it's like you get a different energy flow. It's great. So, I do not love running, but I do not hate it anymore either. And
yes.
I like having a goal that is far enough away to where it's something that I can work towards and accomplish. Like, I know that by the time October rolls around, I'll be so ready.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, it's cool to have something like I said, chip away at. I enjoy having something to work toward.
Yeah. And I think that, like, the cool thing about running is, like, you can do it, but you don't do it. But I think what has pushed me a lot recently is, like, I started running at, like, 12:45, and I couldn't even run a whole mile without stopping. And then I was able to run a whole mile without stopping. And then I was able to run a little bit more and get my time down. And for me, I, like, showed up to California, and I think I was running. And for me, it was like, oh, this is something I can do with Cade. Cade's mm-hmm. training for his PFT. This is something we can do together. We can go out and run together. Well, my 6'3 husband can run a lot faster than me, so he'll come home if he, like, isn't in the mood. I'm like, I'm just not in the mood to run. And I'm like, well, I'm about to go out. He's like, oh, I'll go with you. And
yeah.
Like, yeah, because I'm like, what, 5 minutes slower, you know? And so for me, I was able to see, and I think I told Bianca this today, I was like, when I first came out here, I was running, like, 12-minute mile, you know? And now I'm back down to a 10,
yeah.
And I'm able to, like, run and, like, not stop. And,
yes.
like, those things like that. And I think that's the kind of cool thing about running is... it does pay off. And I think mm-hmm. you get the same thing with weightlifting, but for me, I think weightlifting is a little bit more intimidating, like CrossFit's a little bit more intimidating. But for running, it's like, if you put in the effort, your body truly will improve. And I think that's the coolest thing, is you're able to be like, even today on the run, I was like, Kate, I did so well. I was so
you
proud
did.
Of
myself. You did. You were able to talk the whole time.
Yeah, I was like, Kate, like, I would have never been able to do that. And so I think that's the cool thing about fitness, is you really do, like, hard work does pay off. I think there's some things, like, in the military, I feel like you see it a lot. You put your hard work in and you don't get promoted. Or you put your hard work in and it doesn't go recognized. But with fitness, if you put your hard work in, it pays off.
It does. It does.
Which is, like, amazing.
It is. It is. Absolutely. In how you look and how you feel, it bleeds over into other areas, because if you're disciplined with your fitness and even your nutrition, then you're like, oh, wait, I can apply this to other areas of my life. You increase your productivity.
Yes.
Yes. So it is. It's a beautiful thing to be a part of.
Yeah. So you come to Pendleton, mm-hmm. in California. And when did you start doing the workouts out of your garage?
Again, on my birthday.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
So my birthday for the last several years has just been very momentous for me.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we started on my birthday. We moved in July.
When is your birthday?
August 10th.
Okay.
Yeah. So we moved in July, the end of July, and we got everything set up. I mean, I don't even think we were fully unpacked when I started. I just met some of my neighbors and talked to them about what I was planning to do, and they said, sign me up. And so I did. And
that's awesome.
We started on August 10th, and so we're coming up on a year.
Which is exciting!
Yeah, it's very, very exciting.
And you do classes how many days a week?
Five.
So Monday through Friday.
Yep.
And then, do you just do personal stuff on Saturdays and Sundays, or are those more your, like, rest days, or...?
Yeah, those are definitely my catch-up days. I do a lot of programming those days, writing workouts for my online clients, and then also, like I told you, I do not wash clothes very well during the week, and we catch up on all the laundry, we meal prep for ourselves, and...
Okay, so tell me about your meal prepping.
Yeah, so...
Because you do nutrition as well.
Yeah.
Guys, listen up.
Yeah.
Katie is the freaking... This is who you go to. Because nutrition, like... We were always told growing up, where abs were made in the kitchen.
Yeah, and it is true. What did I just hear? I heard a trainer say something along the lines of, working out and lifting weights is for getting stronger, and fat loss happens in your nutrition.
Yeah.
And it is very true. You cannot, I have noticed in my own life and with experience with clients, that you cannot outwork a really bad diet. You know, you can take it to a certain point, but your progress will eventually stop if you don't address
what
you're eating, what you're putting in. But for meal prep, we try to keep it pretty simple. We do a lot of quinoa. We do a lot of brown rice. Like, we use that as, like, a base. We'll do a protein source, so we'll make a bunch of chicken. Sometimes we'll do steak and then veggies, and then we'll fill in. And then typically there's some kind of sauce. Like, we'll do hummus, or our latest is avocado crema with, like,
ooh,
yeah,
that sounds,
like,
really good.
It is good. It's avocados and a cashew cream, and then I think there's, like, some seasonings in there, mm-hmm. so it's got some spice to it. So that's kind of just how we build it. We just try to do it really simple, and things that we can cook a lot of at one time, and then just kind of divvy it out.
Yeah.
And do all of our work. It takes us about 3 to 4 hours to do all of the work.
It's done.
And then it's done. And we do that. We spend our time together cooking.
Which is awesome.
Sometimes. You know, I'm not even going to lie. We were laughing last Sunday. We said in the kitchen, we went from mad to having tears to back to laughing together all within, like, 2 hours.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's just one of those parts of marriage.
Yeah.
So.
No, I totally feel that. Okay, so for everybody listening, what would you say would be, like, some of your biggest nutrition or fitness tips that you're like, if I could leave you with anything today, these would be things that, like, I really want anybody listening to know when it comes to nutrition and fitness.
For sure. For nutrition, I would say get back to whole foods.
Okay.
Get rid of processed foods. Get rid of things that have preservatives and the things that you cannot pronounce on the ingredient list. For sure. Like, I tell all of my clients to start small, mm-hmm. and I picked this up from the great Crystal Miller.
Mm-hmm.
She and I were working together a lot, and she is a nutrition whiz, but...
Is she the one that just had the baby?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
She had to be on Facebook, and I was like, wait, I think, oh,
yes,
yeah.
Yes, that's her, and she has been integral to me pursuing nutrition coaching, so I always have to, like, give her credit.
Yeah,
with
that's awesome.
And I go to her I double check myself with her. She helps me a ton. But yeah, so one thing that I picked up from Crystal was to start small and mm-hmm. to think, you know, not to throw out everything that you're doing and replace it with a quote good diet.
Yeah.
That is not sustainable. You're going to set yourself up for failure that way. I'd say start small. And one of the best places to start, I'll give you two, water.
Yes.
Getting your water intake and then a whole food based snack. So okay. fruits, vegetables, even adding yogurt, you know, just things like that. I would say weeding out those high sugar, highly processed foods.
How much water should somebody be getting a day?
Oh, that is a, I want to say, I think for women, it might be 74 ounces. I can't remember.
Okay.
I think that you can find, you're good when you stick to, if you stick to like eight
yeah.
full glasses of water a day, I think you're pretty solid.
Okay.
I think you can find kind of a range
yeah.
when you research it, but most people would benefit from drinking 3 to 4 water bottles a day. You know,
yeah.
if you just focus on getting a container and drinking 3 or 4 of those, I would venture to say that most people don't even do that.
Yeah.
So.
Well, and for me, I notice in a workout if I drink water even like the day before or during the day versus if I don't. Like
yeah.
it is a, like specifically for running.
Mm-hmm.
If I do not hydrate the day before I run
yes.
or like before I run, cramps immediately.
Oh yeah.
There is no like, and so for me, I'm like, because I'm trying to train for this time, I'm like,
yeah.
I have to drink water all day. Like you saw me run around looking for my water bottle
yes.
while you came. Like I was like, because I have to get it, keep going.
That's right.
Because if not, I know that my run will just be awful.
Yeah. Yeah. You hydrate the day before. That's absolutely right.
And I realize when I don't.
Yeah.
And I always used to like make fun of my mom and she's going to laugh when she hears this because she'd always be like, I don't feel good when I don't drink water. I'm like, Mom, that's so weird. But now I'm like, I don't feel good when I don't drink water.
That's absolutely right. It's like the go-to. It's like if you have a headache or if you don't feel, if you don't feel well or just feel
yeah.
off, the first thing that you should go to is, or check in with yourself is to see if
I'm like,
you've been
water,
drinking
Advil.
Water,
yeah. Advil. So
fitness wise, I would say consistency. Consistency is the key to really anything. And I also would have to address that you said that weights and strength training or weights and like CrossFit are intimidating.
Yeah.
I would say go somewhere where that you can like come to me where
yeah.
you can get good instruction and give it a try.
Because it shouldn't be intimidating.
It is intimidating, I think, just by the nature of it when you're
yeah.
looking at this equipment and you're like, I don't even know what to do with that.
Yeah.
It is, and I hear that a lot, especially with women, that they're just like, I don't know how to use things. I don't
yeah,
know
what
to do. Yeah,
when you're talking about, like, the barbells, I was like, bro, if she makes me squat a bar, I don't know what I'm going to do.
Yeah, and most of our, oh, man, that's one of my favorite things about what I'm doing is these girls that come in and they've never touched a barbell and now they know how to back squat and they do it well.
Yeah.
They know how to do a push press and they know how to do it well. They know how to do a front squat and they can do it well. Like I want to teach my clients to not need me.
Yeah.
I want to teach them to be able to
guys
walk
she was even helping us with stretches today. I was like, am I even doing the stretch right? And she's like, no, come do this. And I was like, okay, thank you.
Yeah, that's my job. I just want to I want to share my knowledge with you so that you can take what you do with me and apply it without me. So that's kind of my goal. But definitely consistency is where it happens, and it's small steps and they add up and you just have to hang in there with it. And if you're just beginning your fitness journey and you hang in there for 4 weeks and then you start to just get discouraged, just know that at that point of discouragement, that's where you really need to buckle down because you're so close to
yeah.
reach and to climbing over that peak and getting it to the other side of results. So
doesn't it say that like in 4 weeks you'll notice, in 6 weeks
yeah
like your clothes will notice, in 12 weeks your friends will notice, like something like that.
Yeah.
Like it does take time,
it
but
does.
If you do like stick to it, it will pay off.
It happens. And typically I want to say it's not really 4 weeks. It really is about 12 weeks. I find that people, if they've done it for 2 to 3 months consistently and
yeah.
they're just like, I thought I was going to be so much further than I am. You just have to hang in there. It's
yeah.
going to happen. And things are happening. And I think a lot of times women are looking at the scale.
Yeah.
And as
which muscle weighs more than fat.
Exactly.
So that's why I tell a lot of people when like if I have friends or family that are really frustrated with scale. And my mom has gone on her fitness journey and she talks all about it. She's like, that's what she calls non-scale wins. Where she's like, I either upped my weight or I was able to do more reps or like my clothes fit better. And she's like, I've been able to look like, hey, the scale is not where I'm going to see my progress right now. And that's okay.
Absolutely.
And I think that's like sometimes as a woman, at least for me, like it's hard when you don't see the like change on the scale.
Oh yeah, we equate the scale with the old, as we give it way more power and credence than it deserves, and it doesn't tell you, it doesn't give you the full picture. It's like you said, like you're looking for inches, and you're looking at how you feel, and you're looking at how you're doing your workouts. And that was we use an app. All of my clients use a training app, and they record each day in their workout what they did, like what weight they used, how many reps they did. And then the next week, so we do 4-week programs. Okay. And then every Monday, the workout's the same. Every Tuesday, it's the same for 4 weeks. So one, you're getting a lot of...
Oh, you're able to like see.
Yes.
Oh, that's awesome.
You're able to like... And that also keeps it in your mind like, oh, I did 12 pounds with my bicep curl. I'm going to grab those 15s this week and see what I can do with that.
Yeah.
And then so it constantly keeps you put... It constantly keeps them pushing forward. And it also gives them a lot of practice in each movement.
Mm-hmm.
And in that, you know, learning how to stabilize and learning how to complete the rep perfectly.
Yes.
So
how many days a week would you say that you should be, I don't know if actively or like doing a workout, because you should be like active every day. You should get like what, your 10,000 steps or something like that.
Yeah, for sure.
But how many days should you be like maybe like hard sweating working out?
Yeah. I think the recommendation is 150 minutes of like more intense workouts. But
yeah.
I would say like for anyone starting, I always recommend that they start strength training with me at 3 days a week.
Okay.
One, because you're going to be really sore
when
you get started. And two, because you want to solidify that habit. You don't want to bite off more than you can chew, because then you're going to get discouraged and you're just going to possibly throw it all out.
Yeah.
You know, I failed. I'm just not going to do this anymore.
Yeah.
So I feel like 3 days a week is enough time to have that recovery day in between. And also like you can go for a run or go for a walk or whatever it is that you like, ride your bike on the off days. But yeah, I would always say start with like 3 days. I think if you spend 3 days a week doing something intense for you, then that's a good start. It's a good start.
That's awesome. And I feel like that's the cool thing. I mean, probably like with your kids, you're able to like teach them these good habits, which is so impactful because of kind of how the society is that we live around us. And it's like, I don't know. I don't feel like we're even like taught as much about, because like health is, I don't say health is optional, but health isn't as much like taught in schools, you know, and you don't have the, like, and I think food is probably the biggest thing. There's so many misconceptions about food and what you should be doing or what you shouldn't be doing. And like, I don't feel like we even know that much about nutrition to know like how bad certain foods are.
Right. I agree totally. And one of my big issues is that food is not addressed as medicine anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And food, your diet is not brought up in your, when you're having a medical issue or when you're being treated for something, you know, that's not even factored in. And I just don't think that we get,
like, how much red meat do you eat? How much alcohol do you consume?
Right.
Like how much sugar are you having? How much caffeine?
Yes.
How much
like what are you doing? And not even saying that like all ailments can be healed with food. Maybe some can.
Yeah.
But also it's just like, I think that we're so disconnected from what we put into our bodies that it doesn't even come up. You know, it doesn't even come up as a question.
Yeah.
You know, maybe I'm experiencing these problems because I'm having a reaction to something I'm eating. Maybe this preservative is something that my body disagrees with and is revolting against. So,
it's so true.
Very disconnected from what we eat.
I mean, like, I have arthritis, and there are certain foods I know that are good for inflammation.
Yeah.
And so I'm able to put those in my diet and make sure I continually have those.
Yes.
And it's crazy because it's like, okay, maybe in the grand scheme of things, it doesn't make like that much, you know, it's not like a medicine where it's going to be like, it's not like an Advil, you know,
mm-hmm.
but overall I'm able to lessen how much inflammation I have by continuing to put those things in my diet. I then get the nutrients. I'm full because I had a good meal and it's a whole food, you know, like things
mm-hmm.
like that. And it's really not talked about. It's kind of crazy.
Yeah. It blows my mind. You know, it blows my mind. And just in working with clients and seeing some of the things that they deal with, and then also like having the privilege of seeing what they eat, and then just kind of wondering and making these connections or even like asking these questions. Like, I wonder how these things are interacting with one another.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think that I feel like there's a grand purpose behind people who are pursuing, you know, nutritional advice. And I think that it's something that bears a lot more looking into than most people are doing.
I agree. You were talking earlier about imperfect foods, so tell us more about that.
Yeah, so Imperfect Foods, one, the best thing about Imperfect Foods is that it's delivered to your door and you do not have to go to the grocery store to shop. That is my favorite thing about it. It comes to my doorstep and I just bring the boxes in and unload it. It is food that would normally be thrown away. It's food that would be that wouldn't make the cut to make it to the shelves. And I want to say even the website gives you little descriptions as to like why that food is on there. And some things aren't always available, but they always do have a great selection.
Okay.
But like they do have like these little pretzels, and the bag of pretzels is like broken pieces that they would have thrown away in production.
Yeah.
To give you an idea of like how.
So it's like it's. Still a pretzel. It's just
it's
broken.
Still a pretzel. It's just not perfect. And I'm telling you.
And like kids break them anyways.
Exactly. Like they, I would never notice that. I would never be like, oh wow, they're not like dusty. You know, they're still pieces of pretzel. And so yeah, it feels good to know that it's food that would normally be thrown away, and they do have great selections. So yeah, we've been doing it for.
I'm gonna have to check it out.
Yeah, you should.
You totally have to send me that code. I want to check it out.
I will.
Because I feel like that's. I mean, why not?
Yeah. It makes. I'm sure that it makes a big difference. That's so sad to throw away all of that produce and all that. There's tons of meat. They have dairy. They have cheese. They don't really have dairy, but they do have some great selections like snack foods.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow, that's so cool. And then I guess my last question is because you kind of said like you can't throw out every food in the nutrition thing. How do you kind of limit? I don't want to say like bad stuff because it's not necessarily bad, but the less nutritious foods.
Yeah.
Do you have like a good, because like, in my mind, it's not possible to just cut everything out. You know, like you're going to want a piece of pizza every once in a while.
Absolutely.
How do you, like, is there like a rule or how do you balance it so you're not totally wiping away what you did at the gym.
Right.
But you're also enjoying life and you're not like, crap, I can't eat anything that
I
enjoy.
Being absolutely restrictive. Yeah, so there's a couple of different ways that you can approach that. There's some clients that I have them look at their calorie, like their calorie bank on a weekly basis rather than a day. So then, so if you're eating 2,000 calories a day, you look at it as if you have 14,000 for the week. And then you can plan out your week based on that. So maybe Monday is just a normal day for you. You can eat a lower, you know, you can eat a healthy amount of calories, but maybe it's your day that you're in a deficit. And then Tuesday you have an office party and you know you're going to want some of that cake. So then you make that your high calorie day.
Okay.
And as long as your calories are balancing out at the end of the week, you're good. And I would also say that like even you can take that and expand it further and then look at your month and look at how consistent you are throughout the month. And that will also give you an idea of like where you need to dial back and where you have room. And then another rule that you can follow is when you make your plate for any meal, you want to have a quarter of that plate as your protein.
Okay.
Ideally, half of your plate would be a good veggie. And then the other quarter that's left, whatever you want.
Okay.
So then you're balancing out, you know.
Yeah, what you're eating.
What you're eating. And then you're getting your good, you're getting your highly nutrient dense foods. And then you have some of whatever you want. And
then
you
so like your potato or your rice. Or
yeah,
your
even
pasta.
Your cake.
Yeah.
Have your cake.
Yeah, have your cake and
eat
it too.
That's right. That's absolutely right.
Oh my gosh. So. That's awesome. Well, I really appreciate you coming on.
No problem.
This has been so informational and informative, and I think it just people will really enjoy it. And I think it's awesome that you're willing to share all your fitness tips and your nutrition tips, because I feel like that is something that we don't know, and I think sometimes it's hard, and I think we live in a stressful life. You know, military life can be stressful, and I think the fact that you've done this for other military spouses is wonderful. And if you aren't a military spouse or you're not local to Camp Pendleton, she does everything online as well. So you just don't get the pleasure of seeing her face during the workouts, but she does everything else, so definitely hit her up. I'll have her tagged in all of the Instagram and the show notes and stuff like that. And I just thank you so much, Katie.
Thank you for having me.
Of course. All right, y'all, wasn't that just the best? I really adore Katie, and I'm so grateful that she has become a dear friend of mine, and all the different conversations we have during our workouts and after. And I'm grateful that she took time to come on the podcast and share her knowledge and her experience and her story. And I am just really grateful
for everything that she has done for me so far, and I know that she'll continue to do. I really encourage everyone listening, if you are local to Camp Benson, come join these workouts. I've never been able to wake up so easily to do a 6 a.m. workout, but Katie makes it so easy and worth it. And if you're not local, reach out to her and you'll be able to do workouts in your own area because she does everything online as well. And like I talked about in the beginning, if you go somewhere, she's able to write workouts for you to do depending on the equipment that you have in the area that you're at. And I'm like amazed at all that she's been through and kind of her story. And she truly is just an example to all of us. And I really hope you guys enjoyed listening to this podcast. I know that I enjoyed having Katie on, and I will catch you guys next Friday.